Kali Yuga, the mind is so disturbed, right? So we find that, that even when we chant the holy name, our mind is dragged to so many different places. Sometimes I chant 16 rounds and I find out I haven't even heard one holy name in that whole process. Because my mind is run on a tour of so many different things. So the mind is very, very unchaste. Right? Like an unchaste wife or unchaste husband, always thinking about another person other than the husband or another person or another wife. So like that, the mind is, because of tremendous conditioning from lifetime and lifetime and lifetime, it doesn't want to take shelter of Krishna, because it's very worried. Well, if I take shelter of Krishna, how my desires will be fulfilled, who's going to listen to me. So like that, right? So in those days, even in those days when people were very disciplined, right? You read about the history of all the great yogis and the great rishis and the munis. They do tremendous austerities just to make the mind free from all undesirable thoughts. Lifetimes and lifetimes, very, some of them unsuccessful. Like, you know, Bharat Maharaj, he was such a great devotee, but at the time of death, his mind was attached to the deer which he raised. So for that purpose, he had to take birth again. Right? So like that, the mind is so disturbed. So how can we even think about meditating on something which is impersonal, without qualities? It's not possible. The nature of the mind is to be attached to something. The nature of the soul is to be attached to something. So like that, the Lord tells, without a shadow of a doubt, that those people on that path, their path is filled with difficulties. And in Kali Yuga, that's the last thing we need. We already have enough difficulties, right? Just to even come to this satsang here, one has to go through so much trouble. Right? You have to get on the highway, and you know, there's traffic jam, you know, just to come to this place. And you know, and if it is, this program is on a Sunday, you're thinking, well, tomorrow I have to go to work. You know, my boss is going to be angry with me, I've not finished the work he has given me. So like that, the mind is always disturbed with so many unnecessary thoughts in Kali Yuga. So how can we fix our mind on something impersonal? Right? And Krishna tells, just fix your mind upon me. Mayi eva mana adasva, mayi buddhim niveshaya, nivasisyasi mayi eva atha urdhum na shamshaya. Just fix your mind upon me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and engage all your intelligence in me. Thus you will live in me always without a doubt. Atha chittam samadhatum na saknosi mayi sthiram abhyasa yogena tato maam icchastum dhananjaya. My dear Arjuna, oh, you know well, if you cannot fix your mind upon me without deviation, then follow the regulated principles of bhakti yoga. In this way, develop a desire to attain me. Actually, what the Lord told Arjuna before this verse is for somebody who is very advanced, whose mind has become so attached to Krishna. Right? Just like if a boy is totally in love with a girl, no matter what he does, in the whole day he may be in his office, he might be driving, you know, he may be sitting with his friends, but his mind is only thinking about this girl. Or similarly, this girl who is attached to this boy, no matter what she could be doing, her mind is only thinking about this boy. We can relate to some things like that. But our minds attached to Krishna like that every day? You'll be surprised. I'm surprised many times. During the day, how many times I think of Krishna? Sometimes I can't think of a moment that I thought of Krishna the whole day. So, that is a very exalted position for you to always think of Krishna. So the Lord tells, okay Arjuna, if you cannot do that, the Lord makes it look very simple, right? He says, do this, do this, do this. He sets a very high standard of devotional service. Then we think, wow, what is my hope? But then Arjuna, he says, don't be discouraged. If you cannot do that, then follow the regulated principles of bhakti yoga. In this way, develop a desire to attain me. So this is our position, most of our position. We cannot fix our mind 24 hours on Krishna. But Krishna says, okay, there's another process you can follow, which is for the masses. Just follow the regulated principles of bhakti yoga. In this way, develop a desire to attain. So what are the regulated principles of bhakti yoga? The many regulated principles of bhakti yoga. Srila Rupa Goswami talks about all that. You know, but Prabhupada has given us four principles. In fact, Srila Rupa Goswami talks about many principles of bhakti yoga. Regulated principles in deity worship, the 64 types of offenses you have to avoid to the Lord, right? Like practically, we have already committed offenses in front of the deities now, by touching our nose in front of the deities, or by facing our back to the deities, or talking in front of the deities, talking about somebody else in front of the deities. We already committed all those offenses. So Kali Yuga, what is our hope? Right? But still, we shouldn't take those things lightly. We should still endeavor to follow them, but it's practically impossible. Right? There's a famous pastime of Sri Ramanujacharya. He was addressing his disciples and followers. Then he was talking about what qualities one must have to attain the Lord. Then as he was speaking, all the people got up and started leaving. One by one they started leaving. Then he understood. He asked them, why are you leaving? He said, how are we going to attain these qualities? So there's no hope for us. He said, so don't worry, come and sit. I will petition to Lord Narayana for your purpose, for your sake, I will petition. So like that, we are actually, we don't have any qualities. All the qualities we have are actually working against us in Kali Yuga. Manda Samanda Matayo, right? We are very unfortunate, the very little determination. You know, if we think we have a good quality, actually from scriptural point of view, it's actually a bad quality. Really, we think we're very learned, immediately that quality qualifies us. So Lord Chaitanya said that, even in front of spiritual master, he said that, I am a fool, please accept me. It's not just a theoretical statement that one should actually feel oneself a fool. That without feeling that way, it's not possible. Because as long as we think we know something, immediately it disqualifies us. Because how can we understand the Lord is... Think about it, we are sitting in Singapore here in this temple. Right? And then Singapore is such a small island. And then Singapore is a small country, small nation within Southeast Asia. And Southeast Asia is a small portion within Asia. And Asia is just one of the, you can say, one of the big regions within the world. And the Earth is such a small planet in our solar system. And our solar system is such a small system within the galaxy. And our galaxy is such a small galaxy within this clusters of galaxy. And our cluster of galaxy is such a small cluster within this universe. And our universe is one of these insignificant universes in the Lord's creation. And we think that we are qualified to understand devotional principles. We think we understand the scriptures. We are actually totally unqualified. Right? Therefore, Lord Chaitanya, actually, if you study the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya and the Acharyas, you'll find Lord Chaitanya, he was a big pandit, right? Nobody could defeat him. Nobody could defeat him in a very young age. Of course, he's the Lord. But his life is an excellent example for us to see that all kind of learning, even learning of the Vedas and the Nyayas and the Anumans and the Pramans, all this will not take us anywhere. In fact, it will take us away from the Lord. Therefore, you find during that time, in Navadvip, all the big pandits, they were not devotees. But they could recite the slokas of the slokas from all the Vedas and the Puranas and the Nyaya Sastras, like that. They could quote again and debate for days and days, but none of them understood. Therefore, Advaita Acharya's heart was bleeding in Navadvip when he saw the condition of the people there. It was a great seed of learning. Real knowledge means what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. What is real knowledge? Bahunam janmanam ante jnanavan mam patate vasudeva sarvamiti sa mahatma sudhukla. So what is the real learned person? That he has realized that Krishna is all in all. There is nothing else other than Krishna. So, but we are actually very fortunate, right? By Srila Prabhupada's mercy, by our spiritual master's mercy, by the mercy of devotees, we are here today, right? In this wonderful assembly of devotees, talking about such intimate knowledge about the Lord. How many of them in Singapore are doing this right now? Let's assume there's 100 people in this room, right? So how much is 100 in 5 million? Okay, 100 in a million is how many percent? 100 in 1,000 is 10%, right? 100 in a million is 0.1%. Is there a 0.01%? Right? And then out of 5 million, think about that. Such a small percentage of people are interested in Krishna. Of course, there might be some other devotees meeting elsewhere, but still, it's a very small amount of people. So therefore, we are actually very, very fortunate. By some extraordinary mercy, we are here. Somehow, by the devotee's mercy, somehow by some unknowing devotional service which we have performed in our previous life, or even knowingly, some of us are continuing this journey in this life, some of us may have performed some unknowing devotional service, we may have been a tree in our previous life, and a sadhu may have come and sit in the shade. So immediately Krishna sees, oh, this tree has given shape to this devotee. Let me bless him with the human body next life. Let me give him some remembrance so he can continue. Like that, the Lord is very kind, the devotees are very kind. Without your mercy, we are just helpless in this world. How much can our endeavor take us to Krishna? That doesn't mean we shouldn't endeavor. Our endeavor is very insignificant, no matter, but we should keep trying. We receive mercy from Krishna and the devotees, we shouldn't think that it's from our endeavor. My spiritual master used to tell us that, Prabhupada used to tell him, any good qualities you have is because of my mercy. Any bad qualities you have is because of your faults. So we should have that attitude. Whatever good qualities we have is not because of ourselves, it's simply because of Guru and Krishna's mercy. And whatever bad qualities we have is because of our own misdoing. So, but the Lord is very kind in saying that there's regulative principle. So, Prabhupada has brought it down to a level. He said, just follow this four regulative principles. It's actually a very tough call in Kali Yuga. These are the four pillars of irreligion. What we are trying to stay away are those pillars which is supporting Kali Yuga. Right? No meat eating, right? No fish or eggs, no onion or garlic. Okay? That is one pillar which is holding Kali Yuga. No gambling. Now Singapore is building big casino. So, you can see that. In fact, every day we are gambling with our mind. It may not be a crude act of gambling going to a casino, but our mind is always gambling with the intelligence. It's telling, why do you do this? Well, that's good for you. Why are you wasting your time chanting Hare Krishna? What are you going to achieve? So the mind is always gambling. And the intelligence is weak. It will become subordinated to the mind. So, the regulated principles are there. By no meat eating, no fish, eggs, onion or garlic, no tea, no coffee, no cigarette. Then no gambling, no illicit sex, which is another pillar of Kali Yuga. Right, so what's the other pillar which is holding up? Intoxication. Everywhere you step outside you can see such close proximity to the temple. Right? So everywhere you go, there's a strong current which is trying to pull us away from the Krishna consciousness. And it's impossible for us to swim alone. But imagine if you are like the best swimmer in the world, if we throw you in the middle of the Pacific Ocean without any help, how long, even you could be the best swimmer, right? What chance you have of survival? In this ocean, the strong currents, the strong waves, there's these huge creatures there which can gobble you up without any effort. And then the sharks are there. And then the hot sun is beating on you. So, it's not possible for us to transcend this ocean. Nityu, samsara, sagar. So that's why this material existence is compared to an ocean. It's compared to an ocean, it's compared to a forest fire. And a devotee with little knowledge can understand that actually. We find that, you know, we don't want to go to work, we don't want to work for somebody who's not our well-wisher, but we are forced to do that. You know, we don't want to do many things, but we are forced in this world to do that. We work toil day and night to just earn so little so that we can maintain this body. But I don't know of any devotee who wakes up in the morning very happy to go to work. All the devotees I've known, they say, I don't even have time to chant Hare Krishna. That's the last thing I want to do. Right? We don't want to do this, we don't want to do that, we don't want to, you know, be forced into awkward situations when we are forced. We're totally out of our control. So, you know, sometimes Prabhupada is always encouraging us, right, in his books, but in his, sometimes in his personal conversation, Prabhupada says that the living entities are condemned to this material world. We think about it in a certain way, we are condemned into this world. Because we are forced into a situation, we are forced to take birth in a certain family, which might be completely inimical to Krishna consciousness. We are forced to take birth in a situation which is, you know, not conducive. We are forced to go to work and there you see things which are totally inimical to devotional service. You cannot distribute this message freely to people. People get angry with you when you're trying to help them. But the devotees, you shouldn't be discouraged. These are all tests for us, right? If not, how can we prove our worth to Krishna? If everything is nice and easy, how can we prove our worth? How can we earn the trust of Krishna? So, this material world is arranged in such a way that our path will be filled with thorns. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said that those devotees, those who are trying to obtain the absolute truth, their path will be filled with thorns in this world. So if they do that, one is a real nice, soft grass, or another place full of thorns. How many people are going to take the path of thorns? When you say thorns, that means whenever you try to preach about Krishna, there will be 100 people trying to oppose you in this world. But a devotee should never be discouraged. Therefore, a devotee should always take the association of other devotees. By that, we get strength. We cannot do it ourselves. We should always take the association of devotees. We should always feel dependent on Guru and Krishna's mercy. In that way, we can circumvent this very horrible situation. So the principles of Bhakti Yoga, they in this way develop a desire to attain. And by following these principles, one gets strength, the one gets knowledge. It's a fact, when you try to follow these principles, you find that your mind becomes very clear. It's easy to understand transcendental subject matters. But when you are addicted to any one of these principles, or you cannot give up any one of these principles, you find that your mind will be very clouded by misconceptions, by impurities. You cannot see the true nature of spiritual life. But at the same time, this principle cannot be independently acquired. It can only be acquired if you perform devotional service. Therefore, you find that many big personalities who are very self-disciplined, who are very strict in their vows, they fall down. Why? Because they do not have taste for Krishna's service. Only when we have taste for Krishna's service, this principle becomes easy to follow. Why? Because we have a higher taste. These are all actually, these four pillars of religion, they are hasty for these people to tangle in this material world. For one who has had a little bit of taste of Krishna's service, this thing becomes very repulsive, right? Just like Yamunacharya, he has written a nice verse. In the Stotra Ratna, he says, "My dear Lord, ever since I've tasted the pleasure of serving your lotus feet, my tongue curls in this stage when I think of embracing a woman. And I want to spit at that thought." Right? But in this world, everybody wants to embrace, a man wants to embrace a woman, the woman wants to embrace a man. But Yamunacharya says, "Ever since I've tasted the nectar of the service of your lotus feet, these things have become very repulsive." So we should aspire for such a state where we are so addicted to Krishna's feet, Krishna's service, this mundane taste becomes very repulsive. Only then we can become steady. That's right. So when we attain Krishna's service, these things become repulsive. Automatically, we are able to follow that. I'm just leading you on to this verse today. Then Krishna says, if you cannot practice the regulations of Bhakti Yoga, many of them can. How many of them can follow the regulations of Bhakti Yoga? Very, very few, right? Then just try to work for me. Because by working for me, you will come to the perfect stage. Now, this is hopeful for many people. They cannot follow the regulations of Bhakti Yoga. Then Krishna says, okay, you cannot do that, Arjuna. Just try to work for me. What does it mean, working for Krishna? Working for Krishna is actually quite a wide spectrum. You can work for Krishna in so many different ways, right? You can call people for this program. You can go out and give people Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada's books. Even if you're at work, working, if you think, Krishna, whatever I'm doing now is simply because whatever energy you've given me, whatever useful work I'm doing is simply by your mercy. And by that, if you offer some of your fruits of your labor to Krishna, Krishna still takes it as that you're working for him. Krishna is very kind. Krishna is so liberal. He's always trying so many ways to encourage us. Work for Krishna, go out and, you know, tell people about Krishna. Distribute Prabhupada's books. Give them prasadam. Right? Then Krishna says, okay, you cannot do this, Arjuna. However, you are unable to work in this consciousness, then try at giving up all results of your work and try to be self-situated. Then Krishna says, okay, you cannot do that. Just try not to become attached to the results of your work. It's very difficult, this one. This one is actually quite difficult. How many of that people out there can give up the fruits of their work? You can't. And try to be self-situated. Then he says, if you cannot take to this practice, then engage yourself in the cultivation of knowledge. Better than knowledge, however, is meditation, and better than meditation is renunciation of the fruits of action. For by such renunciation, one can attain peace of mind. So Krishna is telling different stages. He sets the highest, then he starts giving standards which are lower and lower and lower. And still, these are very difficult for people to follow. Right? So, devotee, we should realize that most of the people in Kali Yuga will find it impossible. So therefore, we have to somehow engage these people in Krishna service, even without their knowledge. Right, if you are having a program, you are to prepare prasadam, you can tell, Prabhuji, Mataji, can you all come and help us cut vegetables? They might think, oh, I'm just doing some religious service, but it's actually devotional service. Mataji, the Prabhu, the temple has to be clean before the program, or temple has to be clean after the program, can you all help? People are happy to do things like that, right? They may think, oh, I'm not becoming a Hare Krishna by doing this, I'm just helping people, I feel good, and they feel good, but Krishna sees it as service. So therefore, Prabhupada in the early days, that's what he did. He actually engaged people in Krishna service without their knowledge. And we have to also do that. We should not be very deceptive and keep people in darkness and say, you just keep doing the service. We surely, by they are doing the service, their heart becomes purified, and whatever message you're trying to tell them, it will enter their hearts. So actually, as devotees, we should facilitate as many people as possible to take up to this process. And by the process of serving Krishna, one heart becomes purified, and this transcendental message will click one day. So therefore, when you go out and try to preach to people, take the Bhagavad Gita and stamp on their head, it will not enter their head. But if you somehow try to engage them in the service of Krishna, right, we can go to some of these flower shops and you say, we are having this program, we need a lot of flowers, so we are able to donate some flowers. You may say, you may not donate, but we give you a good discount. That is also service. Because they have given up the fruits for Krishna's service. Instead of giving $100, he may give you, say, okay, this, I'll give you, I'll charge you $50. He has actually offered $50 to Krishna. So like that, as devotees, we should always be thinking how we can engage people in Krishna. If they don't want to chant Hare Krishna, they don't want, very few people have this inclination, right? So we have to somehow engage people in Krishna service. Then Krishna says here, one who is not envious but is kind friend to all living entities, who does not kill himself or proprietor, and is free from false ego, who is equal in both happiness and distress, who is tolerant, always satisfied, self-controlled, and engaged in devotional service with determination, his mind and intelligence fixed on me, such a devotee of mine is very dear to me. This is a very exalted platform, right? How many of us here can say that we don't have envy? Right, because of envy we are here. Right? Dvesh, it's called dvesh. So, Paramahamsa is one who is not envious. So therefore it's actually the first statement here, Krishna is talking about a Paramahamsa. Doesn't say it's a Paramahamsa, but all these qualities are qualities of a Paramahamsa. Why is the swan, why do we address a pure devotee, a great devotee as a Paramahamsa? Because the swan has this wonderful quality of only, first of all, the swan always likes to sport in the lakes where it's full of lotuses. Right? So Krishna's lotus feet, so the Paramahamsas, they always like to play. They like to take shelter of Krishna. They take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet and derive so much nectar from Krishna's lotus feet. Just like Maharaj Kulasekhar, right? You all know the song. In his Mukundamala Sotra, he says, Krishna Pudiya Pada Pankaja Pankarama Pankaratam Advayu Vishasume Manasa Raja Hansa. He says, the royal swan of my mind is very attached to the lotus feet. Your lotus feet, just like the swans, they will actually entangle their neck around the stem of the lotus stem. So he says, like, while my mind is attached to the stem of the lotus feet, my Lord, let me give up my body. He's singing like this. So, and at the same time, the swan, if you mix water and milk, the swan can actually just extract the milk and eat the water. That's the wonderful quality of a swan. So the Paramahamsas, they only see the good in people. It's a very important quality we should have actually. If we see the good in people, then people are also encouraged to become devotees. But if we always see the faults in people, we can never encourage people to become devotees. So one of the qualities of a devotee is not envious. And that is a very exalted platform. And all the other qualities are, he doesn't see himself that he is the owner of anything, he is free from false ego. If he receives bad news, he is not disturbed. If he receives good news, he is not disturbed. Who is always tolerant. How many of us are tolerant? Kali Yuga, everybody is intolerant. Right? Singapore last few days has been so humid. It's very difficult to tolerate. Right? Like the great devotee Madhavendra Puri, he was so tolerant. If some yogi comes and offers him any food, he takes it that Krishna doesn't want him to eat that thing. That's his tolerance. He is so surrendered to Krishna, he says, if nobody comes and gives me food today, Krishna doesn't want me to eat today. Whereas if we fast for one day, we become very intolerant. If prasadam is not ready during breakfast time, we are very unhappy. Right? Or the wife says something unpleasant to us, we become unhappy. Or the child, right, fails the exam, we become very intolerant. But a devotee has to be very tolerant. And it's easier said than done. In some ways, everybody is intolerant. Actually, the prime qualities of a devotee, the sadhu, is saralata sahishnuta. He's got so much simplicity and then he's very tolerant. Without tolerance, how could Prabhupada have pushed on the movement, right? Tolerance means you are in an atmosphere which is contrary to your liking. Right? If you are very clean, if you are very saintly, but if you go in a situation where everything, people are very crude, people are very violent, people are very dirty, if you can tolerate that, then you are actually a sadhu. But if you become angry at that, then you are not a sadhu. Therefore, Lord Shiva is known as Dhira because he is not disturbed in the midst of disturbances. And we have to become satisfied, self-satisfied. If a devotee is not self-satisfied, that means he can easily be lured by Maya, which is always trying to drag us away from Krishna. Determination is also very rare in this world, especially determination to walk towards Krishna. Determination to enjoy Maya is very strong. Right? You don't even have to pay people to do that. People will pay you to enjoy Maya. That's how determined they are. Isn't that a fact? But you tell people, Prabhu, we are having this satsang, we want to talk about Krishna. Even if you pay them, they will not come. That's how determined they are. Right? And a devotee, Krishna says, doesn't put anybody into difficulty. He's not disturbed by anyone who is equipoised in happiness and distress, fear and anxiety. So devotee is a friend of everyone. He's always trying to relieve people from distress. Right? Even if somebody thinks that the devotee is his enemy, the devotee never thinks anybody as his enemy. So today's words, my devotee is not dependent on the ordinary course of activities, who is pure, expert, without care, free from all pains and not striving for some result, is very dear to me. So a devotee who, he never thinks that my success or my life is based on my abilities, what plans I've made in my life, what situation I have arranged around me. He never thinks that all these are causes which is going to dictate my future. A devotee simply thinks, I am the servant of Krishna, my life is offered to Krishna, whatever Krishna wants me to do, that is my desire. That's one of the principles of surrender. Right? One of the principles of surrender is that a Krishna, a devotee, is surrendered to Krishna. Anukulya santalpam pratikulya vivarjanam. He takes whatever is favorable, he accepts whatever is favorable for devotional service and rejects everything else. Even though it may speak like a very favorable thing. Therefore, Raghunathas Goswami, he rejected all his wealth. Right? Because he felt that that was pratikul. It was not favorable to his devotional service. But we cannot imitate Raghunath Das Goswami, because if we reject our wealth and go to Vrindavan, we may be sitting in Vrindavan, but we will only be thinking about our wealth. Right? So that is not anukul, that is pratikul. Because Raghunath Das Goswami is such an advanced devotee, he could do that. So we have to take that Krishna is my only protector. That is also another item of surrender. So only when we develop this qualities of surrender, we can develop all these qualities. And surrender doesn't mean like surrendering to your enemy. People have this negative connotation. Surrender. So surrender, you know, when you watch a movie or something, one army is surrendering to another army and become prisoners, right? But that is not our concept of surrender. Actually, our concept of surrender is by surrendering to Krishna, we can actually control Krishna. It's an interesting concept, right? Right? See, when Mother Yasoda was trying to bind Krishna, she was endeavoring so hard. Right? She was. And Krishna was having this pastime. But because she had so much love for Krishna, Krishna surrendered to her. Because she was totally surrendered to Krishna, Krishna was totally enamored by her love and he surrendered to her desire. So this is surrender. Surrender means in the process of surrender, you actually can captivate Krishna. Because Krishna is always seeing which living entity is anxious to come to me. Very few in this world. Before Krishna says those devotees are very rare, right? But when Krishna sees some devotee is actually so determined and is so surrendered, Krishna becomes very happy. Here is my devotee, he is my very own. And Krishna will do anything for this devotee. Krishna will even let the devotee control him. So this stages of devotional service are very exalted. One, when we depend on other things other than Krishna, then we should know that we are not surrendered. We depend on so many things in our lives which are actually not related to Krishna, if you think about it. And if you honestly examine yourself, you'll find that you're still very far from surrender. The Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes different songs about surrender to Krishna. He talks about Krishna, I am yours, you are my father, you are my mother, you are my husband, you are my master, my family is yours, whatever I have is yours. Now that I have given everything to you, my dear Lord, I am now peaceful. But many people are not like that. When they give things to Krishna, they are not very peaceful. They think, oh, I could have done this, that. You know, there are cases where devotees in the early days, out of enthusiasm, they might have given so much money, and then later they talk about it, oh, I gave money to the temple, and you see now I'm a beggar, I hardly have any money. So that is not surrender. Surrender means, Krishna, whatever I have is yours. And I am yours. You can do whatever with me, whatever you like, you can do with me. That is one of the prayers of the Shikshastaka, right? Ayi nanda tanuja kincharam. Right? Patitam maam vishasna, not that one. He says, ask Nisya Baba Adharata. Right? Say, my Lord, whether you embrace me or trample me, you will be my Lord. Life after life. So Prabhupada said, money may be offered to a devotee, but he should not struggle to acquire it. We should not over endeavor for money, because by one of the principles, Srila Rupa Goswami says that one should not over endeavor. Why? Because by over endeavoring, what happens? You lose focus in devotional service. When you over endeavor for something, your energy becomes focused in that and you become diverted. Even sometimes you'll find that even in devotional service, when somebody tells you to do some service, and if you find that you have to over endeavor to do it, if you cannot chant your rounds, if you cannot follow what your spiritual is, and you out of some initial enthusiasm, you want to keep over endeavoring, you know, until you become exhausted, you cannot chant your rounds properly, that is also considered over endeavoring. So one has to find a balance in one's life. And even when you over endeavor, what happens? You sometimes start having negative thoughts about devotees. You say, look, I'm working so hard, none of these devotees are doing anything. So therefore, when we engage people, we should also be sensitive. We should only, we should know the capacity of their service and should engage them to that level. When you push them too hard, you can crack the wood. Just like when you're driving a screw into a wood, you should be careful. If you drive it too hard, the wood will crack. So like that, as devotees, yes, be expert. If automatically by the grace of the Supreme, money comes to him, he's not agitated. So if suddenly some fortune he has, somebody writes a will and you receive $1 million, you shouldn't say, wow, that Krishna consciousness is no more good for me. I've got $1 million, I can spend what I want. Devotee is not like that. Gets $1 million, he starts thinking, wow, this is Krishna's mercy. How can I now use this in Krishna's service, right? Naturally, devotee takes a bath at least twice a day. In Singapore, maybe you have to take 4 baths. Right? Actually, it's important, cleanliness. Cleanliness is very important. Because if your body is not clean, your consciousness will not be clean. Right? How many of you, after you taking your bath, you feel that you've got a new life? Right? You might be tired and exhausted, but when you have taken your bath, immediately you are enlightened. Because now your body is clean. So therefore, Prabhupada was so meticulous about cleanliness. You know, if you touch your, you know, prasadam with the wrong hand, Prabhupada was very furious. So devotee, because all these things directly to Krishna, Krishna is the purest, therefore we should also be pure. Therefore, Brahminical culture has so much emphasis on cleanliness. Cleanliness is very important. Cleanliness is, Prabhupada said, cleanliness is not next to godliness. Prabhupada said, cleanliness is godliness. So, if we find that we are not clean in our habits, then we should understand that we are actually not still very far. So, if things which are dirty doesn't bother you, that means you are also influenced by that lower nature. If you go to a bathroom and the bathroom is dirty and you are not disturbed by it, that means you, Prabhupada said, that means you are not in the mode of goodness. Therefore, Brahmana is said to, wherever he go, he leaves the place cleaner than what he first saw. Because that doesn't mean you should start washing the public toilets in Singapore. Right? So, but in our house at least, we should have everything very clean. Naturally clean both inwardly and outwardly. A devotee is always expert because he follows, he fully knows the essence of all activities of life and he is convinced of the authoritative scriptures. So, as devotee, we go through so many things in our life, right? We have to deal with people at work, we have to deal with people at home, you know, we have to have so many interactions. But if we are convinced of this process of Krishna consciousness, then we can execute all this very expertly. Because we know that Krishna is actually the Lord of my life. Krishna is got a direct hand in what I do in my life. And because of his conviction, he gets this knowledge within his heart and he performs his things very expertly. He knows how to deal with people who are materialistic and he knows how to deal with people who are spiritual. He knows how to deal with businessmen, he knows how to deal with laborers. One of the qualities of devotee, he is Daksha, is expert, one of the 26 qualities. A devotee never takes part of a particular party. A devotee never takes part in a political party for some ulterior motive. He is carefree. He is carefree means he knows that Krishna is my Lord and Master. I don't have to become artificially obligated to anyone. Therefore, Prabhupada, if you see his life, he was never obligated to anyone. He could go and meet a prime minister, and he could go and meet a beggar. He had no obligation. Because he knows that I'm only obligated to Krishna. I'm only obligated to Guru, I'm only obligated to Krishna. And the Vaishnavas. He's never paid because he's free from all designation. Whenever we take on some designation, immediately there's some frustration. So therefore, a devotee is without any upadis. We don't have a pure devotee has got no designation. You cannot call him a Brahmin. You cannot call him. You can't put a designation. Therefore, a Vaishnava state to transcend all designations. Nirupadi. Sarva upadi vinirmuktam. Rupa Goswami says. Tat paratena nirmanam. So there's no upadi for a devotee. He may have some role in this world, but he's not affected by that role. He may be a father or she may be a mother, but as a real devotee, she's not really affected by that role because the service to Krishna is independent of any other designations. So that is called Sarva Upadhi Vinirmukta or Nirupadhi. And once, because why you are identified with some designations immediately, if that needs and wants of that designation are not met, immediately there's frustration. So a devotee is not identified with any designation. And a devotee never endeavors for anything which is against the principle of devotional service. Right? Therefore, our endeavor is necessary. Endeavor is necessary to please Guru and Krishna. We shouldn't think that endeavor means, oh, I just sit at home, I don't have to make any endeavor. No, one has to work in this world, right? At the same time, one has to endeavor to please Guru and Krishna. Not for our own pleasure. Right? Devotees worked so hard in the early days of the movement, right? They gave up everything. They joined full time, day and night, worked, hardly ate, hardly slept. In 12 years, because of their work, we are here. So they endeavored so hard, but they endeavored hard to please Guru and Krishna. So we have to also endeavor hard for Guru and Krishna, not for our personal sense gratification. So that's what I thought I'll say today. Sorry for my limited realizations. So if you have any questions, any comments, any chastisements, I'll take it. Any questions? Any comments? Yes, Prabhu?
Thank you for the nice question. I think the heart kind of a question you guys is quite about the behavior.
I think if you are now struggling in your job, which pays you low, but if you have an opportunity for a higher job, for a job which pays better and less work, why not take that up? Prabhupada says lazy intelligence is the best intelligence. Why? Because now you will have more time to serve Krishna. So we shouldn't curtail ourselves. Oh, Krishna doesn't want me to take a job with more money because I have more. But if your consciousness is right, you will use that money rightly. Whatever more money comes. Right? So, that is important. Like, you know, Prabhupada, when you see it, all these people working. See, Prabhupada say, it's not human to work more than 6 hours for somebody. But when Prabhupada sees these people working day and night, he was so disgusted. And sometimes we feel that way. Sometimes, you know, you have to work overtime to do certain things. You say, wow, why do I have to do this? But the sudra, the person with the sudra mentality, they will never think that way. So therefore, we have to get ourselves away from that mentality. And when we put Krishna in the center, then we would adjust our life such that we have to do the bare minimum to keep body and soul together and give most of our time to Krishna. Still, it's very difficult in Kali Yuga because people, whoever you work for, they demand that you work so many hours. So therefore, one of the things Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita is said that if you have not completed your devotional service, you will be born in a wealthy family in your next life. But a lot of people blow their chance away. If you're born with a silver spoon in your mouth, it's actually indication that Krishna has given you an opportunity to spend and serve Him a lot of time in this life. But because the culture is so against Krishna consciousness, whoever is born with a silver spoon wants to go for a gold spoon. Right? So you shouldn't see that if you take up a job, but if your intention is to take up more money so I can enjoy myself more, that is bad. So you're better off staying in a low-paying job. But if you say, if I can go to that job, when now I can have better time, more time, like it happened to me. In my previous job, I was not very happy. I had to work like an ass. Thinking, wow. And all my association around me was so degraded. Then I was thinking like that. And then, Krishna, you have to extricate me from the situation. Then, I was praying like that, and I was also revealing my heart to some senior devotees like that. And I think some senior devotee must have prayed for me. Then shortly after that, I got a better job, even without much endeavor. I just called, I saw an ad in the internet, an email came to me actually. I didn't even make, email came to me, and then I pursued on that. And within like one interview, without even, it's a much better situation. So, Krishna will make arrangements. If we try to please Him, try to serve Him, Krishna will make arrangements. We may have to be a little patient, but Krishna will provide. Krishna is Bhakta Vatsal, He knows what is best for us. So that's...
Not everyone in the congregation may know Prabhu's background, where you are, and how the congregation is. I think we'll be inspired if you were to hear something.
I'm coming from Houston. I'm just visiting Singapore. We're going to Vrindavan, but originally I joined in the Dallas temple. I met the devotees in 1992. By Krishna's mercy, by Prabhupada's mercy, actually I used to read the Bhagavad Gita in Singapore. It's interesting how my sister actually bought the Bhagavad Gita and the entire Bhagavad Gita from some devotee. I think it was some white devotee. who was distributing books, those small barcodes printed in, I think it was printed in Singapore. But she never read the books. She just kept it in the bookshelf. As a young boy, I became interested. I used to open these books and read these books, and got captivated by the message. But I never had any association, never met one single devotee in Singapore. But I used to read the Bhagavad Gita, and I used to actually chant Hare Krishna. I used to be an athlete, so I used to go for long runs, like 1.5 hour, 2 hour runs. So while I'm running, I used to chant Hare Krishna in my mind. So Krishna cheated me like this. So then I went to the US after working here for some time, after graduating to do my graduate school. And guess what? I saw the devotees in the university distributing books. Krishna is amazing. If you try to do little for him, he does so much for you. I met the devotees and I said, wow, who are these people? Then I said, wow, these are the people who practice this philosophy. And they were very attractive for me. When I saw them, they were like very, very attractive. I could see that these people had something which I don't have. And I saw that they were so determined to help people. So why are they so determined to help people? What are they getting? They must be getting something out of this. So they invited me to the temple, late 92. Then I went to the temple, Sri Sri Radha Kalachandji, beautiful deity. Have you all seen Radha Kalachandji? You all can take darshan. Radha Kalachandji is the oldest deity outside of India, more than 500 years old. Beautiful deity. So I met the devotees there, that's it. Then shortly after that, I met my spiritual master. But I was searching for a spiritual master, and I met my spiritual master, but I did not know he was my spiritual master. So I used to pray to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, please reveal to me who is my spiritual master. And Prabhupada used to come in my dreams with my spiritual master. Every dream I had for Prabhupada was with my spiritual master, beside him. So one fine day I had another dream, Prabhupada was not there in the dream, my spiritual master was in the dream. Then in that dream I paid my obeisances to my spiritual master. So it was indication. See? So 92, I got initiated early 95. Then I moved into the temple community while still pursuing my graduate school. I became the congregation director there for Dallas Temple. So struggling many things with service and going to school and teaching at the same time at the university like that. So it took some time for me to finish my school. And then 96 we moved to Houston, and then now we are living very close to the Houston temple. So that's my background in brief. Not very colorful, but Krishna's mercy. Krishna, like I said, Krishna is seated in all our hearts, and if we show the slightest interest, He will lead us to the ultimate goal. The Vaishnava is so kind, the spiritual master is so kind, even though we are so unqualified, they give us so much opportunity to serve Krishna. So we should hold all this very dear to our heart. It's very important that we always remain grateful to the spiritual master. That way, even though we got distractions in our life, if our gratefulness is there, then we can always come back to the lotus feet of the spiritual master. The moment we don't feel grateful to Guru and Vaishnavas, then that's a very dangerous something. It's just like somebody saves you from, while you are drowning, how can you not be grateful to that person? Right? Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj says, my first duty is to my spiritual master, Narad Muni, who helped me who extricated me. So we should always feel, as long as we have that feeling in our heart, even though we are very fallen, there's a lot of hope. The day we feel that we don't need the mercy, we can take it on our own, we don't have to be grateful, that's a very dangerous sign. I think it's getting late, right? Thank you all very much. So no other questions, Mataji? See, the Matajis always understand things better. They don't ask questions. That's a fact. Actually, Prabhupada says women are very naturally suited for devotional service because they're very faithful. They develop faith very easily. Unlike men, we always want to reason with our limited intelligence. All right, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada ki, Shri Gurudev ki, Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda ki, Sai Gaura Premanandi.
Do you know the Buddha Rasa now?